It's Saturday, October 24th, 2015. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, good evening and welcome to the first of a slew of podcasts, which I will be producing here in probably the next couple days. I just finished today both presenting and helping out with the Write Well, Sell Well conference, a fantastic conference that was in its third year and is just an incredible, amazing event. There's so many different ways that, that God was working in this conference in my life. Oh my gosh. This is not a Christian conference, an explicitly Christian conference, but the three primary founders are all Christian authors, and being an author and a writer myself, I have learned so much over the past couple years from the conference and from, you know, working with the founders. We did a series of webinars leading up to the conference and this year, but oh my gosh, it was just astounding. So many great things. And I'll include in the podcast show notes, even though this is not a Write Well, Sell Well podcast. This is one from the day before the conference, on Thursday. I will, include a link to some of the notes that I published, from a couple of the sessions. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do a storify of tweets because I wrote two blog posts, one about Chris Messini's, awesome session on marketing for nonfiction writers, and then a session that Shannon Etheridge, who I'm going to be signing up to do mentoring with starting in January, that I'm so excited about, you know, being a more effective, speaker, presenter, writer, and just kind of upping the ante, hopefully, of the messages that I'm able to communicate and the work that I'm able to do, with, this is on the side. This isn't my primary thing at all. Anyway, I'll include those in the podcast show notes. You can check them out, and I'll also do a storify. But I recorded for the conference every session that was presented, and that'll be shared. And so I'm going to be, anyway, producing those podcasts. But I wanted to go ahead and share this session. This is from a conference that took place on Thursday, October 22nd in Edmond, Oklahoma. And, this session, was called Discovering Useful New Ideas as a Connected Educator. And, of course, we'll put this into the podcast show notes, but if you are listening and want to directly go to the web link, you can go to the web link wfryer.me/ideas. And that will take you to a Google site that I had set up a while back. It has the Google slide presentation that I utilized as well as other links and videos. And, actually stayed up far later than I should have on Wednesday night getting all those slides together, because when I've done this session before, I think I might have last done it in May, the first weekend in May, up in Wyoming, when I had a chance to do the, closing keynote for their state educational technology conference. I just pretty much did this session from the website with links and then doing live demos with, Flipboard and other tools, you know, using my iPad. So I was able to situate this presentation a lot more, with a story and, you know, I hopefully made this better. This is one of the new sessions that I had decided to do this year. I guess at Christmas time, sort of look at the breakout sessions and things like that I do for conferences. And, you know, I like to reinvent myself and, you know, do new things. And this is just a really important session because I think helping people see the relevance of being a connected educator and then the practical tools and ways that folks can be lurkers and can seek ideas and can basically consume, content, but, you know, create digital dashboards, for themselves that, you know, have relevant content before they, you know, focus on sharing and things like that. One of the last things that I shared, my slide 25 of this says, architect your own digital landscape with intention. And so that is kind of a summary of this, you know, what are some different tools and strategies that we can use, to leverage our professional learning network and the connections that we're making so that we can be, you know, regularly fed in our professional learning and growth, about the effective uses of digital technology, my specific primary interest in the use of media to show what you know, to become better, multimedia communicators. So the name of this conference was a lot of acronyms because there were three different organizations that came together. It was the OACTE, OEQA, and OATE Fall Conference. And so, the different groups basically are all focused on teacher education, pre-service teacher education and graduate teacher education in the state of Oklahoma. And so I was part of a panel that did the opening keynote and then had a chance to do a breakout. So this was held at the University of Central Oklahoma at the Student Union. And it was just a great honor to be a part of that opening keynote panel. I dearly wish that I had recorded, or somebody had recorded that first opening session, because we didn't do that. But I did record this session, which was the breakout. So again, you can go to wfryer.me/ideas and access the slides as well as the other resources. And if you have any feedback about this or any other of my podcasts, I would love that feedback. Actually, it'd be great if you'd go onto iTunes and rate this podcast as well as write a comment. I don't know that I've shared that invitation very often on the podcast. But also, you can always just reach out to me on Twitter. I am W. Fryer on Twitter. If you listen, it'd be cool to say, "Hey, Wes, I'm listening to the podcast." I think I know through FeedBurner, there's somewhere around 800 folks who are still subscribed, but you don't ever know, how many people listen, et cetera. So if these ideas resonate with you, please let me know. And, I encourage you to also check out my secondary podcast channel, which I have been publishing a few more things on recently, and that is called Fuel for Educational Change Agents. And you can find that at audio.speedofcreativity.org. And I think I will, I don't know, it's hard to say, where should I publish, this content? But I think I am publishing this on Speed of Creativity. And then yesterday I did give a session on green screen videography, and I think I'll go ahead and publish that on Fuel for Educational Change Agents. So not wanting to confuse anyone in fracturing my publishing targets or publishing platforms, but anyway, just kind of picking and choosing. Generally, that other channel has been more lightly edited podcasts. I guess I'll say this, and I may have caused some folks to be interested by the initial comments that I said. Chris Maselli has given me personally some of the best advice through his presentation last year at Rightwell Sellwell about social media, and this year. I guess I did not really blog his session last year. And what he looks at, and you'll see this in the blog post, is a real formula for looking at marketing and thinking about your message and the ways in which you can use your website, books that you've written, and then think about ways that you're going to communicate your message and how you have opportunities to make more money than you might on quote unquote just a book. One of the big ahas for me was seeing that the 3-day iPad Media Camp, which I have presented now, I think this was my third year, may have been the fourth year, but I think it was the third year of doing those, is really one of the best opportunities that I have, financially to be able to make money. And it's a face-to-face opportunity that is, it's different, and it's very impactful, in my experience, having 3 days to work with teachers and to work with others. And so anyway, there's just a whole lot of stuff I was thinking about. I'm so excited for Shannon Etheridge's Blast mentoring program. I've been needing something like that, and she is really at a whole other level as an author and as a presenter and as a teacher, and also, using online tools, looking at creating online mini courses and short courses. And there's things that I have played with and thought about. Chris Maselli's best idea, I thought, from last year was that each one of us should record, who's an author and a writer and somebody who wants to, share our ideas, be out there, is that we each need to record 20 videos, 10 videos for YouTube about questions people ask us all the time. And then secondly, 10 videos of the questions we wish people would ask us. And I started recording some of those videos last year after the conference. I also set up a whole video library on the playingwithmedia.com site, but I haven't developed that enough and been strategic enough. And so I'm doing that. I'm totally, you know, motivated to do that. And I guess the other big thing that I'm going to be doing is moving my email list. And gosh, I have an email list with a few thousand people on it that I've literally not ever sent a message to. I'm just not really into email as far as, you know, marketing and things, but that is really the way that you build a relationship and connect with people. I guess, you know, social media is wonderful and the blog is wonderful, but it tends to be a more fragmented way of connecting in terms of what people, you know, visit and see. And so anyway, what Chris said, and let me see if I can find this in my notes, is that instead, yes, of using MailChimp or Constant Contact, what he recommends, and I'm going to switch to, is something called ActiveCampaign. Pricing-wise, it's about, you know, similar to either of those, like MailChimp. But what it allows you to do is use actual bubbles and a flow chart to decide. It reminds me of if this, then that. You know, if somebody, even visits a particular page, then they can receive a certain email and, you know, the things that they recommend. I mean, this isn't about spamming people. What this is about is finding your tribe and building your tribe. This is Seth Godin's Tribes, an important book that I have never read, but it's one of these that I've kind of know the thesis of. It's actually one I'm going to be reading for Shannon Etheridge's Blast mentoring program that's going to start in January, and I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. But anyway, it's being more sophisticated with the way that an author can, you know, build a tribe and connect with the tribe and find ways to show people the kinds of things that you've written and created and the value that you are creating and that you can create. And this ties to speaking and presenting, you know, as well as writing. I have a lot of people now downloading the free ebook that I wrote and published a couple years ago now called Hopscotch Challenges. But I haven't been strategic at all in saying, hey, now that you've seen that, you know, are you aware of, for instance, Show with Media and the whole section that I have in there about simulations and games and Minecraft EDU and, you know, other kinds of things with coding and resources and STEM and things. So I don't know. I feel like in some ways I'm kind of all over the place in different places publishing, and I haven't been as strategic and focused as I potentially could be. So Write Well, Sell Well was tremendous in many, many ways. And I'll be writing some blog posts and sharing some of that, hopefully in the days to come. I need to strike while the iron is hot with some of those things that are fresh on my mind. So a much longer introduction than I had planned, but hopefully that gives you some other ideas and things that you might want to follow up on yourself if you are, you know, a writer or interested in being an author or publishing. And certainly I think a lot of the folks listening to this podcast are, you know, educators and involved in using social media and writing a blog and, you know, writing a book and thinking about ways to share video and, you know, teach others. You know, you probably have multiple intersection points with that as far as the ways in which you either are doing those things or would like to do those things, see the potential of doing those things. So, you will find all the podcast show notes on my website, speedofcreativity.org, when you take a look at this podcast. And I don't actually know, I guess I have to look to see what is the number of this podcast going to be, because it's sequential. I probably ought to do some kind of special episode when I reach certain milestone podcasts. But I've definitely published a few more podcasts this fall than I have in quite a while. So this is going to be podcast 434. And yeah, man, I need to figure out what to do for podcast 500. But that's probably still a ways away. Maybe a couple years away. Who knows? Because I'm not even publishing usually once a month, so it may be a good long time away. But whatever the case, thank you for tuning in. Please follow up with me on Twitter at WFryer, and I hope you enjoy this session. Back to this past Thursday, October the 22nd, 2015, Edmond, Oklahoma, Discovering Useful Ideas or the full title, Discovering Useful New Ideas as an Educator, Tips for Using Flipboard, Pocket, Twitter, and Nuzzle. Here we go. Talk about discovering useful new ideas as a connected educator. And I put a few apps into the session title, but I'll assure you this won't be a laundry list of going through a ton of different apps, but I want to actually start with a story. And so I'll put this slide up again, but if you'd like to get to these resources, you can go to the link wfryer.me/ideas. Oh, and I forgot. I started to do this, and Tammy, if you wouldn't mind, I have printed little stickers. I have a friend, Tony Vincent, who has a little label printer, so you can get your little sticker that has that link and a QR code. And I almost forgot because I just have started to do this. And this is a Google presentation like we had used in the keynote so that you can get to these links. When you get there, you're in the presentation, and you can tap and click on all the links that we're going to have. Yes or no, can reading a book change your life?
Yes.
I think so. In fact, I'd say absolutely. And if we all, you know, that would actually be, let's do that. Why don't you take 60 seconds, turn to your neighbor, introduce yourself, and tell them a book you've read that's changed your life, okay? You have, I'll give you 90 seconds. All right, so our timer is up. What books did people say?
Who Moved My Cheese?
Who Moved My Cheese? I put the Bible up here. That's a good one. That's a good one to say. What other books did we say?
Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. You can volunteer your neighbor too. You can just point to her a little bit.
If I love a book?
Yeah. What was it?
Mindset. She read.
Which one was yours?
Mindset. Carol Dweck.
Carol Dweck. Mindset. Yeah. We did that as a faculty over the summer at the book study.
I just thought of one that's it's a children's book, but it's wonderful. Peter H. Reynolds, Ish, and The Knot, yes. Both of those really are great for adults and kids alike to allow you to embrace creativity and to know you don't have to be perfect, just perfect-ish. So
Peter Reynolds, Ish.
Yeah, great books.
So, you know, forget the 40 slides in this presentation. What we just did right then might be the most significant thing we do in the session, which was make a connection to somebody else and also get a book recommendation. And the reason I start with this is I want to tell you a story from last week. So Oklahoma City's on fall break, and our three kids are in Oklahoma City Public Schools. They're all at class in SAS downtown. And we went down to the Hill Country to Ingram. It's by Kerrville. I'm part of a men's conference that happens at Mo Ranch by Hunt each year. And so we had our retreat, and before that, I said, let's be offline, kind of. We still had some connectivity, but we got a cabin by the river, we hung out, and, you know, it takes a while to get there. It's like an 8-hour drive. So on the drive, I end up listening to an amazing book, which I am only partially in. And called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Has anybody heard of this before? Ever heard of this? What is that icon? It says it below. It's Audible. Who listens to audiobooks? Okay, this can change your life. I listened probably to more long-form books today, especially in the last 4 years I was commuting to UConn, so I had about a 30-minute commute every day going and coming. And no, I didn't listen all the time to Audible, but a fair amount I did. This stuff can change your life. Well, how did I learn about Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear? Well, it goes back to 2011. It does, but here are some quotes that I tweeted from what Liz Gilbert says. You do not need anyone else's permission to live a creative life. Do whatever brings you to life. Create whatever causes a revolution in your heart. You are already creatively legitimate by the nature of your mere existence here with us. Never delude yourself into believing you require someone else's blessing or even comprehension in order to make your own creative work. pigeonholing you is something people need to do to feel they have put the chaos of existence into some kind of reassuring order. I love this. People at my church think I'm like the printer guy. You're the iPad guy. You're the Bible to fix. No. Really, I'm kind of the relationship guy who's a teacher, and I love kids working. We like to pigeonhole people. I really resonated with this book. I love this a lot. She is wanting to empower us, whether we're writers or we're dramatic arts folks or we're visual note takers, whatever it is. And you know, both Tammy and I have had a chance to work with a creativity project here in Oklahoma for a number of years, and that focus is we are all creative. Okay, a class of first graders who can draw. Everybody's hands go up. This audience, probably not so much. There'll be some. But I really resonated with this book. How do you learn about great books to read? Well, I actually just gave us all a chance, right? What was a book that changed your life? That's a pretty kind of big question. And maybe some of us aren't going to go out and read David or Reynolds' first name is?
Peter
Reynolds-ish. You know, I actually haven't read that book, and I really need to. I really need to. Because if Tammy Park says that's the book that changed your life,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to probably be a significant book. In the past, we didn't have much technology to use to answer this question. How many of you have bought a book on Amazon that you saw on Amazon that was recommended? Okay, because you could get a deal on it, you know, if you order it now. Or because the more you read and the more you rate and say, I like this, I didn't like this. You know, Amazon's trying to get to know us. Okay, some people are kind of creeped out by that. There are creepy sides to that whole artificial intelligence kind of machine learning algorithm. But there's also a hugely beneficial part of this. Oh my gosh, I didn't know about Big Magic. And I loved Ish. And, you know, people who were reading that one. So today we do have technology tools that can help us learn. But we've also got the human connection. And so I'm going to take you just briefly down the rabbit hole, not with Alice, but with me, as far as how did Wes end up listening to Magic, or part of the book Big Magic, last week, driving down to the Texas Hill Country and coming back. This is what goes back to 2011. This is the first tweet I could find in my own Twitter archive by Chrissy Venisdale. Okay, and it's ironic because in Tammy's screen slides today, she had a quotation from her. She is, I think, director of, it'll say it in a second, director of innovation, the innovation coordinator at Kincaid Lower School, and that is a private school in Houston. She's amazing. So somehow or other, I got connected to her in 2011, and she became part of my stream, part of when I would go to Twitter and look at stuff. I could see things that Chrissy shares. And so at that time, back in 2011, back in the old days, we didn't have Flipboard and some of these new tools. We had things called RSS aggregators, feed readers. Basically, they were kind of geeky sounding, all right? And I used Google Reader. Eventually, I moved over to Feedly. This is what I still use every once in a while. And what I did was I had put her blog into this app on my phone. And so just like clicking news okay, hey, wonder what the news is. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be crime, and it's going to be a fire, and it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of negative there. I have a folder just with educators. And I can click right there and see what have educators that I am following, what have they written lately. And so on October 11th, 2015, what's today? 22nd, 11 days ago. I happened to find her post on creativity and rethinking school. It's called The School of Fear. This is the rabbit hole, right? This is where this comes from. How did Wes end up connecting to this? It's because of following her and putting, you know, her blog in my reader. But this is how I saw it. She had a little icon on this post that I was reading, maybe on my iPad, or it might have been on my phone. And it said, Big Magic. What's that? So I tapped on it, clicked it. And then I also tweeted it because I agree with Jason Knifer, who's an awesome educator in Montana. I don't have a picture of a bear trap, but he says we all need information traps. He's a Montana guy, so he has, you know, bear hunting analogies. We need ways to trap information, okay? How many of us have had the experience of, I know I saw that link but I'm not sure how to get back to it now. We've all had that happen. So we need some way to track information and go back to it. And I've been using for a while Twitter, and I'll use some different hashtags. So I can now go back to any of the things I've shared about Big Magic by looking in my Twitter archive for Big Magic, and then also book to read. I mean, there's more of these than I have time to read or listen to. But I actually decided, and I don't know if I was thinking about this or not, but hey, I'm just going to go get that book, okay? I have the $10. Well, actually, I have a membership to Audible. So that's how Elizabeth Gilbert ended up on my phone. When I was working on my proposal for my dissertation, a friend, Gerald Kinesic at North Texas, said, Wes, you need to come down and teach a class for us. I'll give you some office space. You've got to get this thing written. That's when I joined Audible, because I was driving to Denton once a week, staying, you know, two nights and teaching a class. And I've kind of kept that membership. So I already had a credit. I did the membership for one credit a month. My kids have used it. No, I'm not listening to Lord of the Flies. My daughter just listened to that. Okay, but that's how I have Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Essentialism by Greg McKeown. That's one of the best books I read last year or listened to. Amazingly awesome. It's all about where you find your center. It's so easy to get stretched thin with too many commitments and too many things going on. Greg says no is basically a holy word. And we have to learn to use no to establish boundaries with our employer, with our family, with our friends, with people at church or other organizations that we're in. Anyway, it's huge. Okay? I'm really excited to listen to Elon Musk. That's how Elizabeth Gilbert got on my phone. Now, I've heard Hall Davidson talk about this. I don't have my earbuds. But Hall says, how close are you getting to somebody's brain when you're in their earbuds? Hall even got his daughter's iPod at that time, and he recorded a message to her and put it on her iPod. So she'd hear, what is that? That's my dad. Kind of a funny joke. But it's serious. Listening to an author read her book, hearing her espouse these ideas that she's passionate about, wow, that is impactful. That's how Elizabeth Gilbert, by the way, who is a New York Times bestselling author, because her main book you may have heard of is called Eat, Pray, Love. I haven't read that yet, but I want to. That's how she got on my phone. That's how she got in my earbuds. Or actually, I think I subjected my wife to this book, and we were listening to it on the front speakers. We have to turn the back speakers off in our minivan for the kids now. They have their own devices. But we were listening to this. So does this sound like a crazy train to you? A crazy train, crazy chain of events? It's kind of the rabbit hole, right? How'd this happen, Wes? Well, it took me a while to retrace these steps. How was it that I even had this person in Houston, you know, on my phone to begin with? And because I have now been listening to her book and sharing some of those ideas, I think I'm going some good places, and I'm able to share that with others. So we heard our provost this morning talk about Stephen Johnson, and yes, I love that quotation. It's my favorite, one of my favorite quotations. I love Ralph Waldo Emerson's. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams, I love that. But the Stephen Johnson quote is, chance favors the connected mind. And at our ISTE conference in San Antonio, the technology conference, national tech conference, Stephen Johnson was the keynote speaker in 2011. And I made some visual notes, which I did make fancier later. But here's one of my biggest takeaways from Stephen Johnson is, this is about intentionality. Good ideas, it's a myth that Newton was just underneath the tree. Oh, fell on his head. Oh, man, he realized gravity. Laws of gravitation. Oh, yeah, it just came to him like that. No. There are slow hunches that happen over time. In fact, lots of people encourage writing your ideas down. In the Enlightenment, and the reason I can tell you this is because visual note-taking is a powerful strategy, they had something called a commonplace book. And that was where you just write all your ideas down. That is the worst Evernote elephant you will probably ever see. And I'm a little embarrassed to say it, I agree with that. But it does remind me that that's a place I put a bunch of ideas. I also put food places. I love barbecue. In fact, I had one of the best barbecue ribs of my life yesterday in Tulsa. It's called Big Anthony's. Has anybody been there before? He's a player for University of Tulsa. Anyway, I write these things down. And in Evernote, guess what I can do when I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but I know it's barbecue? What do I put into Evernote? BBQ.
Okay, and there it is. There's all the little barbecue places I've saved. So some of these ideas are old, right? Write your ideas down. Have a place to document them. recognize that ideas grow from other ideas, that it's not just this eureka moment, the slow hunch that happens over time. We can be intentional trying to set ourselves up for encountering good ideas, for finding good ideas. How many agree that we are in an era of information overabundance? Is this the world you live in? Yes, and it's getting worse. It's only going to get worse because more and more people have access to the means of publication, and our smartphones getting faster or slower? Are they, you know, I mean, Apple's iPhone seems to kind of stay the same price, but a lot of technology is getting less expensive, you know, Chromebooks in schools. There are other devices, and so we're living in exponential change. I didn't put that graph up there, but it's the elbow of exponential change. As people, we do relatively well with linear change. It took a long time for everybody to get a phone in North America, or most families do. Television. These things were implemented or were adopted over a long period of time. How quickly did we move from cassette tape to CD to MP3? Yesterday, Google just announced YouTube Red, which is going to be their subscription, $9.99 a month streaming service. How many of you use Spotify or Apple Music or Pandora? It's different, right? Like, a lot of people today don't need to own their music. It's crazy. So here's one of the things I believe about that. It is essential that we, as adults, teachers, parents, have skills of not just finding stuff. This isn't just about let's Google it, right? This is about filtering. This is about tagging, which some people would say adding meta information. My friend Kevin Honeycutt says if you don't add a tag to a piece of information you're saving, it's kind of like you have a bottle and you're going to throw it into the ocean. Woo! Never see that again. Okay? That's why in Evernote I need to use a word like BBQ or a word that I'm going to remember later to search for. Archiving, having a track, a place where we can save that stuff and go back to it later. Evernote's a great one. It's free. You can pay for more features, but I've used it for years free. And then sharing. Why is sharing such a big deal? Well, I got to go back to get her name because I haven't. This is the first time I've used her name in my presentation. Chrissy Venisdale. Okay, Chrissy Venisdale. I am indebted to her for generously sharing not only a post that she wrote, The School of Fear, which is an awesome post about how too often we're not having creative spaces and encouraging curiosity in our school. She shared, and therefore, I mean, I'm telling you this story today. Maybe some of you are going to read Big Magic. I don't know if it's going to change my life or not, but the part I read so far was pretty awesome. It was really encouraging and empowering to say, do it. You have the credibility now, the ability, the right to create, and not just to create and hide, but to create and share, because that's how we inspire each other. So here we go into some apps, and how are we doing on time? We've got about 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Okay, cool. So I have linked on this Google presentation a series of tools, and how many of you have been to a session where somebody did like 50 apps in 50 minutes? Have you been to those? Okay. They're very popular at technology conferences. And it can be helpful to be able to learn about a new tool. No kidding. I mean, how else do you learn about it unless somebody tells you about it? In fact, at our ed camps, we have what are called app smackdowns. And app smackdowns can be great because that's, you know, a chance to have people quickly in like 2 or 3 minutes share. I use Evernote. Why? Because I got to save my notes and I want to search them. And it's on my phone and it's on my iPad and it's on the web. But what I'm trying to do today is really curate down into some of the most powerful tools, and especially ones for beginning. And I'll tell a story on my wife. My wife teaches 3rd and 4th grade at Positive Tomorrows downtown, which is one of only 2 schools in the United States that exclusively serves homeless children. So every child in her school is homeless.
What's your name?
Positive Tomorrows. And they have about 70 kids. She has between 10 and 15 kids in a room. She just got two more after fall break. So we live together, right? So she sees me using these tools, but as she has went back to the classroom about the same time a little earlier than I did with teaching STEM, you know, she started to get more involved with that. And the one that I'm going to start with is called Flipboard. And the reason I'm going to start with it is because if there are any tools on here that I would encourage you to start with and share, it's going to be this one. Pocket is great. Nuzzle is great. Twitterlists are great. This is a brand new one. I know Tammy, do you use Media Gazer?
I don't. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of great ones, but I'll show you Flipboard. Audible's great. Pocket Cast is too. I've created a page, and that's what the link will go to, that lists these. This is a Google site. The slide deck that I just shared with you is right here. But then there are prescriptions, things that you can do, like following some lists of educators on Twitter using Flipboard. And then I've got some different videos. But I want to go ahead and show this to you on the iPad. That's how my wife, who will tell you she was not into this, she did Facebook, okay, for personal, but not into the educator stuff, really until Flipboard. That's what I want to show you on my iPad. So I'm going to attempt to open up QuickTime Player. This is a kind of a cool trick. When you want to share your iPad or your phone in a session like this with a new different wireless and you're at a university or whatever, oftentimes you can't do it with AirPlay. And so one of the things you can do with the newer versions of the Mac operating system is open up QuickTime Player, plug in your iPad, and you say new movie recording, except instead of the front-facing camera, oh, look at that, there's my iPad. And so now my iPad, oops, my photos are going, my iPad is here. Oh, isn't that cool? Now I'm tethered, so I can't wander to the back of the room. But that is kind of cool. I guess it must be live. That's something different with that. How many of you have used Flipboard? Okay. Think about, and because I'm going to ask those of you that have used it before, to think about your synopsis of what Flipboard is, or how would you explain to somebody why you use it, what it is. I'm going to tap Flipboard, and so what we're going to get here is an encouragement to turn on notifications. I'm not doing that. An article, and no, I don't want push notifications. I think digital newspaper. Why is it important for authors who are writing online to include at least one picture in their article or their post? It's because Facebook grabs that picture and puts it on there. Rick Cobb mentioned that today, because a tool like Flipboard will. And so it is just grabbing some of the more popular articles, and it's showing that to me as like, here are the highlights of what you might want to read today. Ooh, look at that. Giant dinosaurs nested. If I want that right now, I just tap on that article. I guess I have to go into cover stories. I thought I could tap it right from the cover. Okay, maybe it was just teasing me. I have to go, I guess, go into cover stories. And this is where I can flip through. I'm going to go to that article. Some of the top articles for the channels that I'm following. There it is. Giant dinosaurs nested like enormous turkeys, okay, from National Geographic. So I have chosen to follow the National Geographic channel inside Facebook, a mainstream media, traditional media channel that's free for me to follow. And, of course, there's going to be a few ads in here. But this interface of being able to flip through and read the article is the best experience of trying to consume streams of content. I think of this as like rivers. There's publishers that are publishing just like they have been before with traditional print, but they're publishing digital. And there's also folks like Tammy Parks and Susan Sansbury and all other kinds of folks who publish things sometimes regularly, sometimes irregularly, but they share stuff, and it gives us a chance to be able to consume. So for those of you that raised your hands about Flipboard, how would you summarize Flipboard? How do you tell somebody what Flipboard is, or how would you encourage somebody who doesn't use Flipboard to use it?
Would you describe
an aggregator. What is an aggregator, Tammy?
It's a way of filtering information and bringing it to one location.
Okay, so think funnel. Think taking stuff from lots of places, putting it in one place. Okay, what's in, another thing that you'd say about it?
I was going to say, for me, it's kind of like my CNN app, or not my CNN, my U.S. News app, where I can go and find all the news for the day or the highlights for the day, or if there's things that interest me, like sports, I can kind of filter and not have to go through all the tweets of sometimes irrelevant things, and it puts it in a visually appealing.
Visually appealing and allow you to filter. It's a filtering tool. So we have different news apps. I mean, I use News 9 definitely for weather. National Geographic magazine. This one, I think I've got. This one's called Wider Image. It's Reuters, and it's just images of articles that you can move through. And then there's also a map, and so you can explore this geographically as far as where these articles took place. Huh, this is in Nigeria, so I can tap down there, and then I could explore or Nairobi. That's when it's in Kenya. You know, but this is just their content, right? I don't get to customize this. With Flipboard, I'm able to customize the channels that I have that I subscribe to. So if you have download Flipboard, it works on an iPad, it works on a Android device, and I'm betting it works on Windows Phone. It's not, just go to flipboard.com. You create an account, and then you're able to add content. And there are some different ways that you can add content. I could go in, for instance, to science and technology. And there are all these different channels that I could add. Apple News, Big Ideas. Some of these are from magazines. 9 to 5 Mac, the BBC Future. So if I chose that, I now have a channel that is just the BBC's future channel, okay, the things that they are sharing. And that's powerful. That's great, okay? But here's what I think is most exciting about Flipboard. It's not being able to just subscribe to National Geographic, because I can get their app, okay, or I can get their magazine, or CNN, or Fox, or whatever. It's people, and it's Twitter. Because you can connect Facebook, which for me is, I use that a lot more personally than professionally, and I can also connect Twitter and even lists on Twitter to my Flipboard. So let me give you an example. I have a list of STEM teachers. I've been teaching STEM for 2 years. And so when I tap this box that says STEM teachers, what I'm doing is I am looking at that stream, that river of content from those Twitter teachers, those STEM teachers on Twitter, but it's showing it inside Flipboard. And so quite often, one of my favorite things to do with my kids the last 2 years, and I really miss this, I called it curiosity links. And we wouldn't do it every day. And I could talk for too long. So I'd set a timer and the kids would help me stay within 10 minutes. But I would share something pretty amazing. Sometimes it was 3D printing. Sometimes it was, hey, do you know China just landed on the moon? They put a robot on the moon. Hey, do you know we just landed on an asteroid, or actually the European Space Agency did, in partnership with NASA. And it was like the movie Armageddon, and they're trying to mine from that asteroid. Oh, but did you know it didn't land in the right spot for enough solar energy? And anyway, you can tell I got a little excited about that. I miss that. I miss having a chance to do that regularly with kids. A lot of times, how did I learn about that stuff? It's because I connected to other STEM teachers. And so I could be at home, I could be in the car waiting for my daughter to finish her dance class, I could be, you know, wherever, as long as I had an internet connection, and I could go through the list of things that folks have shared. There's something about Google Photos. So there's something that I was interested in, like this. Okay, I did start to use Google Photos this year. I'll tap on it. And are these just all separate? Is this all one thing? Okay, these are just all different pictures that Kyle shared. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move this from Wes is consuming this, I am, you know, looking at this, reading this, thinking about this, to I am sharing this. And that is another reason that Flipboard is really a wonderful tool. Down in the bottom right corner, I learned from my friend Gail Lovely this summer to call it the share square. You heard that before? The share square. It's so friendly. It's the square that has the arrow in it. And in most apps on the iPad, there's a share square when you're going to want to move something out of that app. So I tap on the share square, and what would I like to do? Well, I'd like to tweet it. So I can tap on Twitter. It's going to pop up a retweet, and I can put my own comment on here. Like, what's our hashtag for the conference? O-A-E-T-C?
C-T-E.
C-T-E. I have that written on my laptop. O-A-C-T-E. And I'll also put Okla Ed. And I'll put Google E-D-U. Why do we put hashtags in? Because different people will follow certain hashtags, and it's sort of like a roadside saying, hey, check this out. And folks who are following Okla Ed or following our conference might see that. And so I'll go ahead and post that and share that. But many of you are probably not on Twitter. You're not ready to share on Twitter. You might lurk. That's a great way to start, is just check out the Okla Ed, you know, chat that's happening on Sunday nights. You don't have to participate and post. But guess what? You might not have time. I don't have time right now to fully read this article. And so that's what's going to take us to our next tool, which is called Pocket. Who has used Pocket? Okay. Susan, why do you love Pocket?
For the reason you just mentioned, that I may be intrigued by it at that very moment, but I can't stop and access it right then.
Yes. And so Pocket can become a trap for information, a place where we throw it. Does anybody have a relative that gives them articles? My mom loved to give me articles. Like, even when I go home, she'd, like, have a stack. She's finally stopped. She tweets them to me sometimes now. But, like, she loved to do that. She loved to share something that she knew, you know, would she thought be, it's about hometown, maybe somebody I knew or whatever. So I had that stack, and I could read those articles. In the same way that someone could hand me articles, or I could make a stack of them and put them in a folder, Flipboard lets me share to Pocket, and I can do this in other places too. And that is going to be saved for me to read later. So I'm going to tap on Pocket, and it's going to pop up and say it's saved. Now, I've already created an account on Pocket, and I already have the app, so there's some things that I did in advance. But this allows me, and I use this a lot, this allows me to read stuff later, okay? And I can open my Flipboard, I can open my Pocket, and also it can be offline. I'm not flying nearly as much, like maybe once a month. I was doing that for a long time, for 5 years I was doing consulting. You can be offline, okay? You don't have to be connected to the internet. Pocket will download those articles for you, and then you have them on your device. I have started, and it's out there for you to use if you want, a Twitter list of Oklahoma educators. There's over 700 teachers and educators, okay? I don't put companies, I don't have vendors. This is all folks that are in the classroom, you know, higher ed, K-12. And so, hey, look at that. Tammy just shared. Yeah, Vinspired, look at that. Tammy just said, I'm indebted to Vinspired for sharing her post, Big Magic, and via, and she put my name. I will retweet that. I'll tap right here and retweet, and I'm also going to save it to Pocket. I'm going to tap on, what do we say that little box with the arrows called?
Share.
The share square. Okay, I'm tapping on the share square, but I'm sharing it with myself. I'm going to tap Pocket, and now that is saved to my Pocket. Okay. I'm going to pause. I want to take you to Pocket in a second, but I actually want to give you a little time to think and process. So I'm going to open up Timer Plus. There's the clock that's on the iPad works, you know, it has a timer, but Timer Plus has these really cool, like, you can have, I'm not doing 15 minutes. It has great, you know, better sound. So we can do the charge. Did I get my audio turned down? Oh, it's going, okay, whatever. I'm going to give you a minute and a half. I won't demonstrate fancy sounds, but I think it's how I've got this plugged in. Okay, you have a minute and 30 seconds. I want you to process some of what I just shared with you. Talk about Flipboard. Talk about this idea of being able to follow groups of people and being able to save in pocket. Okay? You have a minute and a half. Talk to your neighbor, please. And if somebody's by themselves, pull them in. So you're not by yourself. Yes?
You just said you have made it really vocal from the educators.
It's on there. So when you go to this place, the class ideas, I'll pull it up after a minute and I'll show you. So I've actually highlighted that for about an hour as a list that you can do. Because what you have to do is in Twitter, click follow that list, and then it will appear in your Twitter, and just in order for you to be able to share. So that's a great idea. I'll demonstrate that after the time is up. I didn't set the audio to do my boxing bell or my fancy audio. Elaine had a great question on the front row. She said, how do we get to that list? We want to follow that list. You just said you had a list. How do we get to that list? The link that I gave you that goes to this page links right here. This is under prescriptions. So here are my prescriptions for you. Create a Twitter account and follow some educator lists. Okay, this is first thing. When you click on that link, that is going to take you to the lists that I have created on Twitter. And not all these are great. Some of them don't have anything to do with education. Some of them are about other things that I'm just interested in. But in here, there is one called Oklahoma Ed. All right, there it is. 759 members. So if you want to follow that list, you'll click on it, and it won't say edit or delete, because I created it. It will say follow. And you can follow that list. You don't have to create it, maintain it. I mean, this is something that I put together and I, you know, keep adding to. And then on Flipboard, you can add that list. So let me show you that really quick. Because this, I really think this use of Flipboard is what makes it even more powerful. I love National Geographic, but I like being able to subscribe to people even more than I like subscribing to companies. So I'm going to tap on the bookmark. It has three little bars up there in the upper right corner. And when I click on my name, I think. I haven't done this in a while. Click on following. Here are my accounts. I have connected my Twitter account and my Google Plus account. And by the way, how are you actually going to be able to figure this out? You're going to sit down with somebody else, right? Maybe it's a kid. Do kids know how to do all this? No. But do oftentimes kids, you know, have little fear about navigating and figuring stuff out? And you can say, hey, help me figure this out. I want to follow this Twitter list. Can you help me do it? And so sitting down together, you'll figure it out. Here are the lists I follow. So I follow, for instance, lawmakers that OSSBA has put together. There's lawmakers here in Oklahoma. If you followed my educator list, it'll show up here. When I tap follow right there, now here on my Flipboard. Look what we have there in the corner. Lawmakers 2015 by OSSBA. And here are the tweets by our lawmakers that are on Twitter. Isn't that interesting? And I can not only see what they're doing, I can share that, I can follow them. It's a list that I have followed. Okay? Let me talk about a couple other tools on that list that I think are very powerful. How many of you have heard of Nuzzle or you've used Nuzzle? Okay, this is a pretty new one for me. I've only been using this about in the last year. What Nuzzle lets you do is connect your Twitter account and connect your Facebook account, and then it identifies the articles that have been shared by the most people you follow in a certain amount of time. So, it's taking a while to load this. It's a little teachable moment. What do I do? Oh, my app, it's not doing anything. What should I do? Quit it, right? Restart it, okay? I'll double tap my home button. I'll push it up, okay? I'm going to quit the app, and I'm going to open it up again, okay? I probably ought to check and make sure my internet connection is still good. All right, look at that. It looks like it's good. So, yay, restart, right? First step, restart the computer, restart the app. So in the last 24 hours, I can change it to say the last 2 hours, the last 24 hours on, you know, Thursday, today, or go back in time. But in the last 24 hours, these articles have been shared the most by people I follow on Twitter and the people I follow on Facebook. Here's an article from the Washington Post. Why teachers should reconsider their beliefs about learning. It's been shared by 3 people. So I can tap on this article. I can read this article. But then I also have, what's that called in the corner with the box and the arrow? The share square. I can go to the share square and I could save it to my pocket, or I could save it to Flipboard, or I could tweet it. And so this is a discovery tool that I've used. And, I mean, I'll tell you, there are a lot of those 50 apps to teach STEM and 30 apps to do such and such. And sometimes I like those. But if people I follow are sharing stuff, if there's like 5 people who've shared this, maybe it's something worth checking out. Nuzzle is free, and it is a discovery app that leverages your network as you follow more folks and build that network. It's basically smart intelligence to be able to filter it for you and say, hey, 5 people in your network said they liked this article, you might want to check it out. And there's other things that they've added, like news from friends of friends. I have now shared several things in Pocket, but I haven't opened up Pocket yet. And so I need to show you that. And I think I have that. I put it in a folder called eText. So I have iBooks, I have Kindle, I have, you know, some Our Choice by Al Gore, which is actually one of the coolest interactive multimedia books ever made on the iPad. You can experience wind energy by blowing into the microphone of your iPad. I'm going to tap Pocket, okay? What Pocket is doing now is it is connecting and downloading all the recent articles that I just saved. My iPad could be disconnected from the internet. We could get on an airline flight without Wi-Fi. I could be out in the woods, which would be a great thing for me to do more of. And maybe not even take my iPad, but whatever. If I'm reading, I could read these articles not connected to the internet. When I tap on the article, this is where I sound like the Ginsu knife salesman, but there's more. You get more. It strips out the ads. Okay? So it just has the title. If there are inline pictures, and there's the article. Woo, nice.
Yes.
And I can just read it and simply put a check mark by it. Or I can click on that little icon that looks like a Christmas present tag. And yes, that's the tag icon. And I can put a tag. Maybe I'm going to start doing research on teacher reflection or reflective practice. And so I'm going to have a tag called reflection. And so I add that tag and I check that box. Well, I can go in and look at my tags, and for instance, the articles that I've tagged future, I only did one, I don't know what I've tagged multiple things. If you've tagged something, ooh, Jeb Bush, I'm not a fan. Yeah, no, let's hope he doesn't set the course of our educational policy in our country anymore. social media. You can view those things and again, use this as your trap. Okay? Use this as a way to come back later and take a look at those articles. Okay? So, Flipboard, Pocket, Nuzzle. One of the ones that I put on there that I've just also started to read or to use, and I knew Tammy would be excited about this one. This is very cool. This is called Media Gazer. This is actually how I learned last night about YouTube and this YouTube Red that they've got this. Because what Media Gazer does is it's a smart aggregator, but it is specific. If we click on the About, and this is a nice thing about using an iPad, I can pinch in. Media Gazer presents the day's must-read media news on a single page. The media business is in tumult from the production side to the distribution side. New technologies are upending the industry. Keeping up with these changes is time-consuming. As essential media coverage is scattered across numerous websites at any given moment, Media Gazer simplifies this task by organizing the coverage in one key place. And so they'll have an article and then pick a lead article and then related ones about that. Let me find one here that I'm actually interested in. Well, okay. There's a writing conference I'm going to in downtown at Crossings Community Center tomorrow and Saturday for writers. So this is kind of interesting for writers, a fund for publishers for digital news projects. I don't have time to read this right now, but I'm interested in it. So what can I do?
ShareSquare.
There you go. ShareSquare, and then I have some choices, okay? I can ShareSquare and put it in my pocket, okay? With a tap there, it's saved to my pocket. This used to be harder to do before Apple updated with iOS 8. You used to have these bookmarklets and, you know, trick it to let you, you know, send it somewhere else. Now, apps on the iPad can talk between each other better. I could also put it in my Flipboard. I have a magazine that I curate called iReading because I read it on my iDevices. And so I could just, with that flip, it's now in that magazine. So anybody who follows that free magazine that I have can read it. I could also tweet it.
Wes.
Yes.
That, what you just described is following that magazine, that's been a great thing to do in especially grad courses I teach. Like if I want the students to get extra up-to-the-minute content in a course, this is a great way to do it, is have them follow your curation of that material through Flipboard.
Excellent. And I learned, the Flipboard folks took my wife and I out along with a group at ISTE this year, that we can collaborate on magazines now.
Yes.
In fact, she's trying to, now this semester at her school, share Flipboard and that, because everybody emails articles and it's too much and we don't need more email. Please stop the email, stop. So if folks would be willing to flip it into a shared magazine, then when we're ready, let's go read the news that's been shared by our team. And so we're not doing that at my school yet, but that is also something that we're talking about.
Plus, you're teaching them information literacy skills as they're curating.
Absolutely.
And that's a flipbook option.
That is in Flipboard. That's right. Well, let me show that. Let me show that to you. Okay. So here in Flipboard, you can choose. If I tap here on magazines, underneath my profile, I started one called Cassidy Learning. iReading is the main one that I do, and so it. I mean, there's 1,700 viewers. I've put 27,000 articles into it. I've been using it a long time. If I wanted someone else to be able to contribute to that, I can tap right here and then invite them to be a contributor with me on this magazine. And in fact, I think I did that with this Cassidy Learning, but I've never really shared it. I've invited my boss and some of our principals and others, but we've never really talked about it in person. But, you know, it's, is everybody going to do this? No. You know, might some people? Maybe. And it's a way, again, it's a trap. It's a place to put information, and it's also a way to get information from others, because you can subscribe to magazines that other people have created and curated.
And that one, does that one send out the automatic emails?
You might be able to turn that on as a feature. Some of them you can, you know, choose to have email notifications. And, well, and here's a, I didn't put this one on the list, but you know about if this, then that? this is a very cool tool that you can use, for instance, to get news alerts. So if you want to receive an email, you know, every time Chrissy or what's her first name? Vinsdale. Yeah, every time she posts, we could set that up. You could set up to receive an email, you know, each time she posts on her blog. And there's all other kinds of things that you can do with that. So I think that we are about out of time. I did not give a lot of time for end questions. Here's one more thing I'll share with you. YouTube, I just read a statistic in an article this week. People are uploading 400 hours per minute now to YouTube. Okay, it used to be 60 hours a minute. 400 hours. And guess what? There is some good stuff there, but you don't have time, I don't have time to sit there and watch it at the time that, oh, look at that TED Talk. Oh, look at that video about the Cisco Meraki with Tammy and I were talking about, our mobile device managers for our iPads. I can't watch that. So here's what YouTube has built in, and it's called the Watch Later playlist. So if I want to watch How to Take Great Notes, okay, I don't even know what this is, but it looks safe. If I want to watch this later, okay, I could like it and go back to my likes on YouTube because I'm logged in. I could subscribe to it, but right here, add to. And everybody's account automatically has a private list called Watch Later. And so if I say add that to that playlist, then I can go to my playlist. Oh, actually, I don't even have to do that. It's right here when I click on the three bars at the, in the corner. Watch later. Here are the videos that I've said I want to watch later. Okay, there it is, How to Take Great Notes. Earlier this week, I saw Larry Lessig, Our Democracy No Longer Represents the People. He's running on the Democratic ticket to try to help us have campaign finance reform. Because until we have that in our country, really nothing else matters because the politicians are not going to change that. That's a great video. Watch later, okay? It's built into YouTube on your iPhone, on your Android phone. When you're on YouTube, you can tap the plus and say watch later. It's like pocket, okay? You're saying, I don't want to lose it. I want to get back to this, but I don't have time right now. So I'm going to put it in a place that I'll be able to get to later. And it's a playlist that's private. It's called Watch Later. You can, of course, create other playlists and share those. So hopefully there are a couple nuggets that you have taken from today. My closing thought is this. We need to architect our own personal digital landscapes with intention. There is so much information coming out. I mean, how many digital billboards are there now? And how many are going to be in another year? It's just more and more. Filtering, saving, tracking, archiving, sharing. These are important literacy skills, and some of those tools, if there's just one thing you walk away with, Flipboard. Okay, because I've seen that with my own wife. There's a lot of information we talk about in this session. We're all taking baby steps. Nobody learned to swim and jump off a 10-meter board the first time they went to the swimming pool. Okay, you started in the baby pool, you started in the shallow end, and you built confidence, and you worked up to doing other things. And so these tools will keep on changing. The K-12 Online Conference is in full swing. It's the 10th year I've helped organize this since it started. Wonderful 20-minute videos by some of the most innovative educators around the United States and the world. John Wetrick, who wrote Genius Hour, was our pre-conference keynote. You can find that at K-12 Online or at K-12 Online Conference. There is no vendor, no anything commercial. It's just all free, and it's folks sharing their ideas. So I hope this has been helpful. Have a great lunch, and I will be glad to hang out and answer some other questions. If you came in late and didn't get a sticker, grab those right here. So grab a sticker and have a great rest of the conference.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.